Srimad Bhagavatamrita, written by Sanatan Goswami, the chief amongst the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And in the introductory verses, he has one verse offering his prayers to the holy name. It's part one. Brihad Bhagavatamrita has two parts, so this is part one, chapter one, text number 9. All glories to Lord Murari in the form of his all ecstatic holy name. If any living entity puts aside such tasks as meditation, ritual worship, and social duties, and even once takes the Lord's holy name, the name will grant him liberation. That holy name is the greatest source of eternal pleasure and is my very life and ornament. So as we know, Sanatana Goswami's Lord and Master is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the deliverer of the holy name. So Sanatana Goswami has made his life and soul the chanting of the holy name. And the commentary is his own commentary, which reads as follows. Among the various practices of devotional service, the most important is chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Chanting the Lord's name is Ananda Rupam, pure bliss, because it makes ecstasy rise in the heart. Chanting the holy names is also Ananda Rupam in the sense that it is the essence of ecstasy and it makes everything it touches ecstatic. Share something. In New Jersey, there, our Tuapo, New Jersey congregation, there's a family that for 20-something years they've been holding one day out of the year 24-hour kirtan. And in the course of those 20 years, their children grew up, went off to college, and got married, and so they sold their bigger house and got a smaller house. And the first year that they had the 24-hour kirtan in that new house, where that there had never been any chanting before, the day before the kirtan took place, because it was a new house, they were older people, and they hired a maid, and she came and made the house ready for all the guests to come for the 24-hour kirtan. And then the day after the 24-hour kirtan, the maid came to clean up. And they went out to do some shopping or something, and they came back, and she was singing Hare Krishna. It was, they never knew her, she never knew them, she'd never been in the house before. And they asked her, "Where did you learn this?" She said, "I don't know, I just, from being here in the house, I just started singing." Amazing. The whole place, the atmosphere became so vibrationally purified from the 24-hour kirtan that the maid, who had never chanted before, began chanting. So Ananda Rupam also means the holy name is the essence of ecstasy and makes everything it touches ecstatic. In this verse, the author, Sanatana Goswami, again repeats the exclamation, Jayanti. So it begins, Jayanti, Jayanti, Namananda Rupam Murari. Jayanti is exclaimed twice, indicating the Hari Nama, the name of the Lord, is the greatest manifestation. Jayanti, Jayanti. The greatest manifestation of the Supreme Lord's attractiveness and mercy. One who realizes the value of Harinam will choose to rely on chanting Harinam rather than on other kinds of spiritual effort. Or stated differently, Jiva Goswami writes in his Bhakti Sandarbha that any other devotional practice should be joined with the chanting of the holy name. We know this from Nectar of Devotion. There's 9 primary practices of bhakti, or angas of bhakti. Chanting is one of them. And we hear that one can achieve spiritual perfection by performing even one of them. So Jiva Goswami very elaborately explains, yes, but it should be joined with the chanting of the holy name. Prayers, deity worship, serving the Lord, serving the Lord's lotus feet, hearing, it's to be joined with chanting. Devahuti, the mother of Lord Kapiladeva, confirms this in her prayer to her son. Aho bhata svapacho to gariyan. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog-eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at the holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. He goes on in the commentary, this chanting may be performed without true realization, our gap. There's what we know the goal of chanting is and where we are, and that's down here. Without true realization, this chanting may be performed. It may be a mere reflection or shadow, namavas, but still it will result in liberation. How merciful is the holy name. So there's a number of quotes following. One is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy names of the Lord and chanting of his qualities and activities. This is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Pariksit, 6th canto. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, one will achieve relief from material bondage if one chants without offenses. The 5th canto Bhagavatam. It is amazing that even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the 4 castes, in other words, the untouchable, is immediately relieved of bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. And again, 6th canto, merely by hearing the holy name of your lordship only once, even chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Here's one more quote from Skanda Purana. Madhura madhuram etad mangalam mangalanam. O best of the Bhrigu dynasty, the holy name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet and the most auspicious of the auspicious. It is the transcendental fruit of all the Vedas and is purely spiritual. Whoever chants it but once, whether with faith or with contempt, is liberated. Shishupal. And in the verse, the final part of the commentary is Sanatana Goswami disclosing what his relationship with the holy name is. It is everything to him. Nothing else is important. For him, Harinam is the nectar of immortality, the happiness of true liberation, countless times greater than the satisfaction of impersonal mukti. Harinam is also greater than the bliss of Vaikuntha, It is sweeter than all attractive things. It is Sanatana Goswami's very life and the only ornament, a limitless reservoir of auspiciousness, the entire focus of his attention. So that's where we want to be. And to help us get there, I'm going to do something very different this time than those that attended the Sharanagati Japa retreat. This is to help us prepare both for tomorrow's 64-round day and beyond. It's the frame of this discussion is the primary resource is Shikshastakam and Lord Chaitanya's 8 prayers. We won't cover all of them, but 5 of them. And the context of those first 5 prayers of the Shikshastakam is a very small book. Very small book by Bhurijan Prabhu on chanting from his work of japa retreats for 20 years maybe, something like that. Before people even knew about japa retreats, he was quietly doing japa retreats. And his absorption in leading others, his own chanting, but also leading others in exactly what we're doing right now, is in the form of this little book, Chanting. I think that's the title of it, Chanting. And I'm going to engage, is Aditi here? You're going to be the writer on the board, right? Okay. So not yet. I'll give you the cue. So those that are not familiar with Shikshastakam, we have copies. You can help with this. You can help. Ladies' side, men's side, pass them out. Who is Lord Chaitanya? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's Krishna himself in the form of Krishna's devotee. During his manifest pastimes, he exhibited his scholarly pastimes where even as a small boy, he defeated the topmost scholar in the whole of India, Keshava Kashmiri. His brilliance as a scholarly personality knows no limit because he's the limitless supreme. And yet, from his own erudition, he didn't write volumes and volumes and volumes. Rather, the only writing that's known is these 8 verses that you now have a copy of in your hand, which means that there's a lot. The whole of the Vedic wisdom is compressed within these writings. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, these are meditations and instructions in how to achieve Krishna prema through chanting of the holy name. Because Lord Chaitanya came, we say these 2 things. He is the deliverer of the holy name. And he's in giving the holy name, he was giving love of God. So how do you connect those 2? The holy name and love of God. And the answer is, it's right in Shikshastakam. It's the how-to. And using Bhurijan's terminology, there's some keys. You can say there's doors. And each of the doors has a key. So, in his little book, there's 9 keys and we'll cover them. And it starts with... Okay, Diti, you ready? Number 1 at the top. And write, chant Hare Krishna. Pretty simple. To inspire one to chant Hare Krishna, Shikshastakam verse number 1 is there to describe the glories of the holy name. ending with Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So let's sing this together, or recite it together. Many of you know it already. Many of you may not know it, but you all should have a copy here. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamahadaha nirvapanam shreya bhairava chandrika vitaranam nityabhago jivanam ahanam udivardhanam pratipadam purnamrita sthanam sarvapasthanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. So the ending, param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So what are the glories? There are seven that are mentioned in this verse, and we'll go through them. Cheta Darpana Marjanam. The mirror of the mind. The chanting of holy name cleanses all the dust accumulated for years together from the mirror of the mind. So imagine you have a mirror that's covered with dust. Let's imagine a mirror that's been covered with dust for years and years. How long has the soul been in material existence? How many years? Time immemorial. How much dust has accumulated over time immemorial? Let's take a nice number and say a 1 mile thick pile of dust on that mirror. And you go to look at yourself in the mirror. What do you see? Pile of dust. Can you see yourself in that mirror? It has the capacity, mirrors have the capacity to reflect just dust. So how is self-realization possible when the mirror of the mind, the word is cheta. Cheta can mean mind, it can mean consciousness, it can mean the heart. Conscious, the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. So one who engages in chanting the holy name, it's practically the first thing that one experiences as a cleansing, because Krishna is all pure, and the all pure in contact with the impure, what happens? The impure becomes purified, not the other way around, not that the pure becomes contaminated. The impure becomes purified, and Krishna remains uncontaminated and continues that cleansing. Cheta Darpana Marjanam. Marjanam, cleansing. Mandir Marjanado, like we say in our Purvastakam. The difficulties that we are all too familiar with in life, they're not due to purity. They're due to impurity. And the impurity is the modes of nature. We have contact with the modes of nature due to, we have contact with nature due to our desire to be the master, to be the enjoyer of that which we're not entitled to enjoy. It's Krishna's energy, but we want to be the enjoyer of it. So because of that desire to enjoy, we come in contact with the mode of passion. And in contact with the mode of passion, desire. Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajoguna Samudbhava. It's not natural for us to be the enjoyer of nature, material nature. Krishna is the enjoyer. But that unnatural state, it's because we want to enjoy independently of Krishna. The problem, the intrinsic problem is not that we want to enjoy, because by nature we're part and parcel of Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer. So being happy is part of our life, naturally. But want to be happy or enjoy, the problem is not wanting to enjoy, but it's separate from Krishna. Then contact with the mode of passion, and the mode of passion later becomes strong material desire that later is transformed into wrath, the mode of ignorance. You become infected by that material contact. The chanting of holy name is a disinfectant. It takes us away from that material contact and places us in contact with Krishna, because the holy name is Krishna. And we become purified just through chanting. As mentioned in these Bhagavatam verses, even without realization, even unknowingly, there's many nice descriptions of that from scripture and from our practical life. I'll share one of them. When I was a very new devotee, I mean literally my first day in the temple, living in the Hare Krishna temple in Boston, it was the practice that the devotees had at the time, that everybody lived in the temple every day, except the one cook and one puchari. Everybody in the temple went on Harinam during lunch hour, because that's when everybody was out and about. So we got in our van and went out on Harinam at lunch hour. So it was my first day in the temple, so I still had my, you know, dungarees and my not shaven head, and you know, I was a new guy. So I was like really easy to spot out of the crowd, because there's this, you know, new guy. And we had this practice that we would chant for 20 minutes, and it was pretty regulated. We chanted for 20 minutes, and then somebody would speak. Sesra Maharaj was the president of the temple at the time. So someone would step forward out of the group, because there'd be a crowd of people, and we'd explain what the chanting was. And then persons would go and distribute magazines, Back to Godhead magazines. And then when that set was over, those that were distributing the magazines would come back and chant, and those that were chanting would go out and distribute magazines. They had little invitation cards the temple would give people, please come to our temple. And if they agreed to accept a magazine, we would give them a magazine and ask for donation. So here I am, this new, you know, Bhakta new guy sitting in the row trying to hide myself from the crowd of devotees chanting. And Sasra Maharaj came and gave me a whole stack of magazines and invitation cards and pointed to the crowd. And I said, I just got here. I don't know anything. And he didn't even say anything. He just pointed to the crowd and said, go. Okay. So I kind of like, you know, spaced out pretty much, looking around, how do I do this? And there was no instruction at all what to do. And so I finally got up enough courage and I handed somebody a card. And, you know, they were nice. They said, oh, thank you. This is to our temple. We have a feast every Sunday. And here's our magazine called Back to Godhead. And out of the crowd came one crazy fellow who, I didn't know that he was a crazy fellow, but he knew that I was a new guy. And he started screaming and yelling and ranting and literally jumping up and down and spit coming out of his mouth, and he was like going crazy. Don't take this, this is rubbish, blah, 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 blah. He was behaving in such a way, the person was disturbed by his behavior and they laughed. I don't know if they understood anything that he was saying except that the guy's crazy and leave me alone, get away from me. So I was pegged, I was a new guy. It happened, you know, every single person that agreed to take the magazine and hold the magazine in their hand, he would come up and do the same thing again. So I didn't know what to do. So Jayadvaita Swami was Jayadvaita Das Brahmachari at the time, so I asked him, what do I do? He said, don't worry, just approach the next person. I said, but, he said, just approach the next person. Okay, approached the next person. They took the card, they took the magazine, came the crazy guy screaming, yelling, and Jayadwaita Maharaj went like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And the guy went like this, put his hands on his ears and was running down the sidewalk. You know, Jayadwaita Maharaj's big smile. It said, he quoted the verse from Bhagavad Gita, the devotees derive great bliss and satisfaction, the demons flee here and there when chanting, hearing the chanting of holy name. So just carry on, it's okay. He won't come back, don't worry. That was my first day at Harinam Sankirtan. And then it continued like that for the rest of the summer. I was no longer a new guy, so he didn't address me like that, but he would, you know, periodically do like that with different people. And by the end of the summer, he was still a crazy fellow, but by the end of the summer, when people would come to get the point where the magazine was in the, you know, he worked downtown. He came on his lunch hour. He fasted at lunch hour to come and harass us. But by the end of the summer, it was just the opposite. People would take the magazine. You should take that magazine. It's the best thing. This will cure you of all your material illnesses. Take the magazine. You know, he was still crazy. But from hearing the chanting of the holy name, he changed from inimical and crazy to positive and crazy. Who knows what happened the next summer, because I then went to New York after that. The holy name, in other words, it's a papa vidham. It's pure. And it makes anything that comes in contact with pure. And according to Sanatana Goswami, ecstatic. Or according to Shikshastakam, cleansed. Chaita Darpana Marjanam. Then Bhava Maha Dhavagni Nirvapanam. Agni, we know what Agni is. Aditi, what's Agni? Fire. And Dhavagni is a forest fire, and Maha Dhavagni is a big, blazing forest fire. The chanting of the holy name extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. So Prabhupada's example is, when there's a big, blazing fire, bring out the fire trucks. Can they put out the blazing forest fire? No. So many buckets, so many hoses, the forest fire can't be extinguished. But a downpour of rain can extinguish the fire. Like that, Prabhupada explained, this downpour of mercy is such that for the chanting of the holy name, that it can extinguish the blazing fire of material existence. Just from chanting the holy name. And Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. This means the white lotus of good fortune. So a lotus symbolically is good fortune. And a white lotus is an especially good fortune lotus. And Vistaranam, it expands, the chanting of the holy name expands the white lotus of good fortune. Those of you that know Nectar of Devotion, some of you are teaching it, and some of you are studying it. And some of you will be studying it, if you haven't yet. In chapter 1 of Nectar of Devotion, the title of the chapter is Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service. Correct? And there are 6 characteristics of pure devotional service that are identified. And the first 2 correspond with these 2 items just mentioned. Kleshagni and Shubhada. Klesha means suffering. Adhyatmika Klesha, Adhidaivaka Klesha, Adhibhautika Klesha. Mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Kleshas. their sufferings. And klesha, gni, means to eradicate sufferings. Devotional service, even in the sadhana bhakti stage, that's what we're doing. We're doing devotional service and practice. The chanting of the holy name is the foremost of our sadhanas, and it extinguishes the sufferings of material existence. It removes us from material existence and places us in spiritual existence, or restores our spiritual existence. So that's the Shubha Da, the giver of Shubha, of auspiciousness, or Shreya Kairava Chandrika Viharanam. It increases and expands that good fortune. The beginning of all auspiciousness in the language of nectar devotion. Even in the sadhana bhakti stage, we're not even, you know, at the threshold yet. We're not at that limit, the place where we want to become more absorbed in our chanting. Just chanting. It's so victorious, so wonderful. These are glories of chanting that, when heard, or when experienced, even better, then one wants to chant. So, Cheta Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadavagi Dravapanam, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. Prabhupada has translated it as the life of all transcendental knowledge. The life of all transcendental knowledge, but literally, it means the wife, the life of the wife of knowledge. Vidya, vadhu, jivanam. So how does that work? In Vedic culture, where there's a wife, for the wife, the husband is her all in all, is her master. And the master, the husband, or a qualified husband, he gives good guidance to the wife. He gives knowledge and instruction how the wife should conduct her activities so that her life will be successful. And according to this teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that when one engages in the activities of devotional service, spontaneously arises transcendental knowledge. Same thing is taught in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. Who knows what that verse is? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janiyati Ashubai Rajyam Jnanam Jayat Ahaitukam. Ahaitukam, causelessly knowledge and detachment arise when one engages in Vasudeva Bhakti, devotional service to Krishna. So when one chants, transcendental knowledge awakens. The beginning of transcendental knowledge, we know from Bhagavad Gita, is our real identity is spirit soul, not this body. We'll go back to the first example, when that mirror of the mind, or when the heart is covered with dust accumulated for years together, there's no question of understanding the self. But when that mirror becomes cleansed, not only the misunderstandings or the misconceptions are cleared, but the true conception is awakened. But it doesn't stop there. That's where it starts. To realize our identity as spirit soul is a beginning. There's a nice quote from Srinam Mahatmya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he describes, same metaphor, the blossoming lotus. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes takes me to Braja and reveals his own love dalliance, that this name gives me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mind. So following the auspiciousness of the white lotus extending, our true identity becomes disclosed. Just from this one activity, chanting of the holy name, Haram Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Then, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Ambuddhi means an ocean. The ocean of Ananda increases and expands, gives us a taste for that happiness, spiritual Ananda that's like an ocean ever increasing through the chanting of the holy name. Just from chanting, one has access to that. Prati padam purnamritasvadanam. Prati padam means step by step. As we approach that threshold, we approach the chanting of the holy name and continuing on forward in the process of chanting. This is an encouragement to cross the threshold and enter into the new experience of chanting with real taste. It helps us to get a taste for that which we're always anxious. Purna, amrita, the full nectar for which we are always anxious. And sarvatma snapanam. Snapana means bathing. And atma snapanam is bathing of the soul. And sarvatma snapanam. The soul becomes completely cleansed just from chanting. So that's a wonderful product. Take a nice shower and make your body clean. Now how do you make your soul clean? Chanting of the holy name. So he's captured this for us. Chant Hare Krishna. This is an encouragement from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we should chant the holy name. So that's just the first part. You chant. But when you're chanting, there's simultaneously at least one other thing happening. You're hearing. So, when hearing, what's your main business? It's hearing. Really? I thought it was, you know, we're trained to multitask. I thought we're supposed to, like, when we're doing this, we're also doing that and doing that. And then you're really good because you can multitask and get a lot of things done at one time, right? Just one thing. Oh, just one thing. I can't just do one thing. I've been trained to do many things. Just one thing. Just one thing. So, that one thing, how are we going to express it? One mantra at a time. One mantra at a time. But listen to one mantra. Number two. Chanting. Kirtanam. And then shravanam, hearing. Hearing and chanting. Perfect combination. Hearing and chanting. Now how do we get... How does the Shikshastakam teach us about this? It's in the second verse. And fortunately you all have your sheet ready to chant, right? We're going to chant together the second verse.
Nam nam akari bahuda dita sarva shaktis tatra vikari yamantra smarane nakadaha eha vishita bhakrapa bhagavan mahati durdai vaki dhrsha mahati adurakaha.
In each and every one of Krishna's holy names, he has invested all of his transcendental potencies. One way I like to think about this is thinking of the sun. In this material creation, perhaps the most powerful entity that we experience is the sun. How much powerful is the sun? So much energy is the sun giving. And for how much time the sun has been giving that energy, and for how much time the sun will give that energy, how powerful is the sun? But the sun is just something material. What to speak of where the sun comes from ultimately is Krishna. How powerful is Krishna? How much energy and how much potency is in Krishna? And Mahaprabhu was saying that Krishna is invested in each and every one of Krishna's names, all of his transcendental potencies. Inconceivable. Namnam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. And tatravita niyama taksmarane nikala. Niyama. There's these two words, yama and niyama, like the do's and the don'ts, or injunctions and the prohibitions. With Vedic rituals, there's so many do's and don'ts. You want to have a yajna, you have to pick an auspicious time, you have to have proper ingredients, it has to be done with proper mantra, and this and that, and any part of it that's not done just right doesn't have an effect. But there's no hard and fast rules, no niyamas with regard to the chanting of the holy name. You can chant anywhere, at any time. You can't have a yajna in the bathroom, but you can chant the holy name in the bathroom, etc. Can't take your beat back there, but you can chant the holy name anywhere, at any time, in any circumstance. There's no hard and fast rules. Krishna has made his access to him, our approach to him, so easy. Even a totally unqualified person can easily approach him. Despite all these wonderful things, we have no attraction. How unfortunate. Dur daivam idrisha mahajani nanuraga. Anuraga and nanuraga. Have no attraction. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches that we have no attraction because we make offenses. Oh, now we have conditions. It's not just chanting, but chanting without offense. You didn't tell me that at the very beginning. You just said chant. Now you're saying I have to chant and hear. And to hear I have to not chant with offense. Okay. So, what are the offenses? And there's 10 in number, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that of the 10 offenses, the essence of these 10 offenses, or the best way to eradicate all the offenses, is attentiveness. And therefore, chant with attention. So, one of the themes in this nice book that Purichan Prabhu has written, and in essence that he presents in his japa retreats, and as far as I understand, like what he has done to simplify chanting without offense, is chant one mantra at a time. And it's very, very logical. It's so simple our complex minds can't handle it. Because what you can't do is re-chant the mantra that you previously chanted, or the hundreds of mantras, or the thousands of mantras. You can't wind the clock back and go back and chant them again, because you didn't chant them attentively. And the ones going that direction in time, you can't chant them yet. There's one thing you can do. You can chant the one that you're chanting now. It's doable. And you can be attentive now. You can worry about future or lament over the past and not be present. Or you can be present. And to be present, he just capsulized it in a little simple phrase, one mantra at a time. It's another way of saying be attentive. to avoid the offense of inattentiveness, which helps one avoid the 10 offenses. Shikshastakam number 2. Okay. When we're being inattentive, what's the nature of what's happening? The mouth is going. The lungs are going. The sound is coming out. But the mind is somewhere else. So we got a problem called mind. Or at least the mind that's being inattentive. It's paying attention to something else instead of to the holy name or whatever it is that we're doing. The mind is so rebellious, it doesn't matter what we're doing. It's got its own free will, practically. Even Arjuna says, what is this? Even against one's own will, one may do something. As if there's another will that's operating here. What's going on? There's a little quote from a morning walk conversation. Srila Prabhupada is in Hawaii in 1977. Excuse me. About the mind. Reference. Yes. Oh, yes. February 3rd, 1975 in Hawaii. Out there having a conversation in a morning walk about chanting. And one devotee is describing something that we might also describe. He has a problem controlling his mind. Srila Prabhupada, it's very difficult to control my mind when I chant. It wanders. And what did Prabhupada say? So, what is the controlling of mind? You have to chant and hear. That's all. You have to chant with your tongue and the sound you hear. That's all. What is the question of mind? Wait a minute. When one is absorbed in chanting, it's like, you know, let's say that when we start our 64 round day, or next time we have some kirtan later on in this gathering. And when we're having kirtan, the mind may be on other things besides the kirtan. So one remedy is just to stay in the kirtan. And when you're in the kirtan, you're doing two things. You're hearing and you're chanting. And from that hearing and chanting process, eventually, the mind becomes absorbed in the chanting. And it's at some point, it's not even what's going on with the mind. You're absorbed in the chanting. And when your chanting is going on very... Your japa chanting is going on very nicely. Similarly, it's not like you have to instruct the mind. Now there's a stage that we're going to be covering coming up where that instruction of the mind is necessary. Because where the mind goes in yoga practice, it is very important. There's nice teachings, mana shiksha, instructions to the mind, where, for example, Raghunath Das Goswami, great, great, great Vaishnav, what to speak of ourselves, great Vaishnav is giving instructions to the mind. Mind your mind. For example, so long, Prabhupada paraphrased like this, so long you've been in charge, how many lifetimes you've been in charge? You haven't been doing such a good job. Look at the mess you've made of things. So just this one life, you go over there, and Krishna's in charge. Krishna's in charge. Be quiet over there. Krishna's in charge. And I'm just going to serve Krishna. This one lifetime, I'm just going to serve Krishna. You can be quiet for a while. If it doesn't work next lifetime, you can be in charge again. Krishna's in charge. My life is simply for Krishna. So, something like that. This is the chanting of, we've heard that these glorious chantings, the glories of the chanting of the holy name, and there's this acknowledgement that I don't have taste for the chanting of the holy name, despite understanding the glories of the holy name. So now let me just try to hear. And to keep it really simple, one mantra. And however good or bad or in between the previous mantra was, next mantra, next mantra. Another way of saying the same thing, something that I relate to very well, is be present with Krishna. It's another way of saying the same thing, one mantra at a time. When you're with someone, be present with that someone. Whatever may be else going on with your life, be present with that someone. Because otherwise, you know, it's insulting to the other. They feel uncomfortable or worse. If you're going to spend the time to be with someone, be with someone. And then you're doing the next thing, you're doing the next thing. Live your life like that. So when you're chanting, you're chanting. You're with Krishna. And it's the present mantra that you're chanting. It helps, it keeps it really simple. Again, so simple for complex minds, it's difficult. But it'll help make our mind more simple, help make our mind more peaceful. I think we've all had the experience. Something turbulent can be happening. But if we can just take shelter of the holy name, even in the midst of that turbulence, we can be peaceful. And one who's accomplished it, chanting the holy name, their life is peaceful, regardless of the turbulence that's going on about them. And in that peaceful state, you can be more contemplative or thoughtful about what course of action to take, what's appropriate in this circumstance, because you're in this peaceful space. Then your spiritual intelligence can properly guide you rather than the reactive kind. Okay. So now, one mantra at a time. Now you're going to write, make a sankalpa, because this is something that's going to help the mind to stay focused. I'm going to draw upon some things that I said earlier and just reinforce them. Your determination or your intention when chanting the holy name, what is it that you wish to accomplish? Or what you wish to come out of that experience of hearing and chanting? And whatever that is, that sankalpa, it helps to, like a magnifying glass, it helps to focus the mind on the hearing and the chanting, and the hearing and the chanting through your relationship with Krishna and His holy name, through hearing and chanting. Now we're going to add the next one, and that is bring the mind to Krishna. Your sankalpa is part of what you're operating with, your intention, your determination. But the mind still may tend to wander. So there's a nice instruction that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, and you can think of this instruction when you're chanting your japa. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, bring the mind back under the control of the self. So just project ourselves into tomorrow morning, 64 round day, and you're sitting there chanting, and you've gone through these remembering of the Shikshastakam verses 1 and 2. I'll share something with you, a little personal side, but here it goes. A few summers ago, three or four summers ago, there was a job retreat for leaders. It was billed like that, so not very many people wanted to go because they didn't consider themselves leaders. So Purusha Sukta was organizing the thing. So he somehow persuaded Jamuna and Dina Tarani to come. He said, we're not leaders, but you're senior devotees, so you please come, everyone will appreciate your association. So anyway, a number of devotees came. Niranjana Swami was there, and Giriraj Maharaj was there. It was a very nice assembly. Ravindra Srupabhu came. A number of nice devotees. Mother Rasidya came. A nice assembly of devotees. And I was anticipating this for months. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was really looking forward to sharing with my peers, because so much of the time is with others who aren't exactly peers. It was really, really, really looking forward to it. I was like pumped up. I was really enthusiastic. And when it came to the 64 round day, something happened that was not at all planned, but it just happened. What happened was I felt like I was on a runway taking off. Zoom, 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 zoom. And the next thing I knew, it was off the ground. And what happened during the first 32 rounds, no, yeah, first 32 rounds, no, first two rounds, excuse me. Anyway, I forgot. The first eight rounds. The first verse of Shikshastakam was just going through my mind, like a meditation in the background. And as soon as the first eight rounds were finished, and the next eight rounds began, the second Shikshastakam verse started going through my mind, in the background, like a meditation. And this distinct feeling that I've done this before. It just was happening. Like, it wasn't in this lifetime, but I've done this before. And I couldn't get past the third verse of Shikshastakam, which gave some indication why I'm taking birth again. And it's as Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught, these Shikshastakam verses are meditations on achieving love of God through the chanting of the holy name. They're meant to be done like that, and what Gaurichand has done in his next book has helped with that meditation. How to take Lord Chaitanya's teachings and how to take the holy name and awaken love of God in a very natural, step-by-step way. So, tomorrow, you're chanting, you're hearing, you're focused on your sankalpa, you're bringing the mind back, and it's somehow not happening. Now what do you do? Get frustrated, right? Start feeling bad about yourself. There must be something wrong with me. All these other devotees are chanting very attentively. Getting a competitive spirit. Start getting depressed. Maybe you're just, throwing my bead bag. Go talk to somebody or something. Or I'll just go to the kitchen and cut vegetables or something instead of chanting. So the next item, number five, is detached. Just as that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam 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 means detachment. Gyanam Chayadahai to come. So with knowledge, in the Vedic literature, that these two go together always. Gyanam Vairagya. It's a couplet, like two peas in a pod. You have a pod, you have two peas. Gyana and Vairagya, they go together. So with your intelligence, you access that which you've heard. And that awakening of knowledge will bring detachment. The detachment says, my position, listen carefully, my position is to be Krishna's servant. My position is not to be the enjoyer. My position is to be Krishna's servant. Let me just take that position of being Krishna's servant. Try it if you get to that place tomorrow and it's not happening and you're feeling frustrated. I had this big expectation and I'm down here in this valley somewhere. And it just stays valley. It's just a desert valley. It's so dry. I'm not getting any taste. Keep chanting, minimally, and try to access the purpose, you're through your sankalpa, the purpose of coming here, the purpose that you wished to achieve. And stay there, and let Krishna reciprocate with you however Krishna wants to reciprocate with you. But you continue in the position of being Krishna's servant, and Krishna's the master. And that way you'll find detachment to the position of being the servant. Letting go of the position of being the enjoyer, the controller, the master. That's what brought us to the material world. That's what keeps us on this side. Birth after birth. I don't want to stay here in that position. I want to go to the other side. I want to cross that threshold. So Krishna, you can do with me what you like. And that's in our Shikshastakam also. Natanam lajanam lasundarim kavitam vajakatishakamai mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhaktir ahaituki tvayi. Let that devotion to Krishna awaken in my heart. I don't want something from Krishna. Very, very beautiful. We've observed the Srimad Chaturdasi very recently. Seems like really recently. Probably longer than recently, but one of Prahlad Maharaj's many wonderful prayers is this prayer where he's anticipating Lord Srinagadeva is going to ask him, please take a benediction. Before he can even ask him to take a benediction, he says, please don't ask me to take a benediction. He gives many reasons why he doesn't want him to take a benediction. But one of those reasons is, our relationship is that of, I'm the servant, and you're the master, and there's nothing else. There's not a business relationship where I do this, and so you do that. Vanik seva. You know that what that term means. Business. Doing business with God. That's not our relationship. It's only one thing and there's nothing else. And I don't want it to be anything else, and please don't put anything else in that relationship. I'm your servant. You're my master. That's all there is. So I've come to you. I've come to you at this retreat to enter more deeply into my relationship with you as your servant. As your servant, you're my master. And that's all that is. So if my chanting is this or that or the other, you're the master. I'm the servant. There's detachment because one becomes attached to the position of being the servant. And And there's happiness, complete happiness in that relationship as the servant. Whatever the master wants. Whatever the master wants. There's detachment. Doesn't mean, okay, now I stop trying to bring the mind to Krishna. But if it's not happening, you continue the position of service because Krishna gave you an instruction. Bring the mind to me, wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature. Bring the mind back. You continue to do that, and it's not happening. You continue to do that because of detachment. Because you've gone past, now we're in that liminal space, you've gone past being the fruitive enjoyer of your work to Krishna as the enjoyer of the service that you're offering him. Let me offer that service more sincerely. We got to number 5, right? Next comes number 6. Neglect the mind. And the strength for that is detachment. Krishna instructs this in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. From the mode of ignorance, foolishness, madness, and illusion develop. On this side of the liminal space, what we're really accustomed to is the mind is in charge. It's like the banyan tree. It's upside down. The mind is receiving dictation from the senses. The senses say, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Oh, it's too cold, or it's too warm, or I'm thirsty, or I'm hungry, or this, or that. So the senses are supplying some sensory information, and then the mind receives it. And then the mind calls the intelligence. My dear intelligence, please come here. Yes, sir. What can I do for you, sir? We got this little problem. Our sensors are saying, you know, blah, blah, blah. Can you take care of blah, 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 please? Can you make another arrangement? Oh, yes, I can make another arrangement. I'm very intelligent. I may have to take an extra couple of courses in the university, but sure enough, I'll fix up my intelligence so that I can take care of this for you. I'll be right back. Sure enough. So, then the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. The intelligence is serving the dictates of the mind, and the mind is serving the dictates of the senses, and it's upside down. And that's material life. And we want to turn it right side up, where the intelligence says to the mind, my dear mind, please think of Krishna. Think of Krishna. What practical thing will come out of thinking of Krishna? I'm not making any money, I'm not getting ahead in life, where's my career, what about my family, what about my material enjoyment, I'll lose all those things if I just go think of Krishna. My dear mind, think of Krishna. Here's the reasons why. The futility of simply engaging in material life. Well, you make a good argument, but I'm just going to go my own way, etc. So, When chanting, we run into that material conditioning where the mind has its own chatter and it wants to do something that's, you know, productive. And it meaning involving us more deeply in the cycle of birth and death and all the interactions of the modes of nature and fruitive activity. So that's part of this very nice prayer. Smana Shiksha prayers express it very, very beautifully. Where the mind is, it's both the positive and the negative. It's instructed where to go and instructed where not to go. And so much of our conditioned material life is involving the mind in things where it doesn't need to go. And even if it may need to go there, it's not necessarily in the service to Krishna mood. Where's Nanda Sutta? I thought that the playground for the children was, you know, a few hundred yards away. So our space is reduced. We've been displaced by the Canadian geese. That's the idea.
Maybe after this session we'll work out something.
Okay. Maybe drive your car over there and beat the horn or something. Okay. So part of the problem is the mind is accustomed to doing what it wants to do. Part of the problem also is that the mind is convinced, you know, this is reality and this is enjoyment, even though it gives us suffering. The conditioned tendency is very strong. And so this neglecting of the mind is required.